Everyone said amen. Amen. Have you ever been so worried about anything at any time in your life that you couldn't sleep? Let me see your hands. Have you ever been worried about that? You couldn't sleep. And I'm not talking about, you know, just for a day or two, but maybe even longer. Maybe even, you know, for a week or a month or something like that. If you ever have, I want you to listen to a story of a man, true story, that was dealing with a problem related to his ministry that so obsessed him and it so worried him that literally for about a month, he was living on 3.5 to 4 hours sleep every night. And some of his friends, different friends, would comment to him jokingly. You know, they would get an email from him at 11:30, 12 o'clock at night, and then a follow-up email at 3 o'clock in the morning, you know, and the man knew that he just couldn't keep going on like this. Physically, his energy was being sucked down the drain of worry. Emotionally, his happiness was being blown away by the wind of worry, and spiritually, his joy was being burned out by the furnace of worry. And then literally one day, his worry was basically dissipated. It wasn't that he no longer cared, because not worrying doesn't mean you quit caring. It doesn't mean that. It's not that he didn't quit thinking about what he could do to deal with the situation, because worrying does not mean that you just give up. That's not what it means. You don't just, as the old saying goes sometimes, just let go and let God. No, it's not what it is. And here's what I want you to listen. There's a difference between being proactive towards a problem and being preoccupied with the problem. There's a difference. There's a difference between being active in solving a problem and being anxious that you have one. What happened was, he realized that his priorities were out of order. His priorities were out of order. And when I thought about that, it's like God wants us to get our priorities in order. And along that line, I read a story that I said, you know, this goes right along with it. It's a story about a desert storm. During the desert storm war, there was a colonel by the name of William Post. And he was in charge of receiving all of the incoming supplies of the United States ground forces. Among these supplies were tons of food that would come in every day. Well, one day, Colonel Post received a message from the Pentagon requesting that he account for 40 cases of missing grape jelly. Yeah, I know. I laughed when I read it, too. The colonel sent a soldier to investigate the missing jelly, and the soldier reported he came back and that he couldn't find it. Colonel Post made his report and assumed that would be the end of it. After all, it was grape jelly. But remember, the government was involved. Okay. The Pentagon continued to press the colonel, pointing out that they needed to close the books for the month and they couldn't just let the jelly vanish. They ordered him to give an all-out effort to find the jelly. The colonel had enough, and he sent back this response. Sirs, you must decide. I can dispatch the entire army to find your missing jelly, or I can dispense the entire army to liberate Kuwait. But I can't do both. I thought that was just great, you know. And he never got a reply after that. And nor did he any longer worry about the jelly. See, the wise colonel realized something that his superiors didn't really realize. When your priorities are out of order, you are preoccupied then with wrong things. You're preoccupied when your priorities are out of order, you're focused on wrong things. And the result is worry that is both unproductive and unnecessary. Last week, we talked about the importance of focusing on one thing. I asked you to do one thing in this coming year that I believe would make an unbelievable difference in your life. And I ask you to, all of us, if we would read through the Bible this year. And if you weren't here last week, I gave out some, an example that you can read the scriptures, and there's some in the back if you didn't get one, or you can find one. I just went online and got the easiest one I could find. And I said that if you have a smartphone, that's the best way to do it. I think, you know, it's easy. It's right there every day. But you know what? I'm asking you basically, and I think about it like this. It's like God has an envelope that he wants you to open every day. And it's a message in there to you from God himself. And that's exactly what happens when you read God's word. You know, it's like if you have AOL, you know, it says, you've got mail. That's what I think God's word is every day. God says, you've got mail. I just sent you a letter. I want you to read it. And that's what I think our reading through the Bible is going to do for us. It's going to make an unbelievable difference in your life. But today, I want to go a little deeper than that. I want to focusing on one thing. Or just a few things can be dangerous if it's the wrong things. That's why I want to talk to you about what I want to call first things. When we focus on the wrong things, it leads to a problem that we all have to deal with in one degree or another. And that problem is called worry. We call it worry. And if we turn in your Bibles to Matthew's Gospel, chapter 6, Matthew chapter 6, it's the greatest sermon ever preached in the history of the universe. It's the Sermon on the Mount, Matthew 5, 6, and 7. If you have a red letter Bible, you'll see that most of the words in Matthew 5, 6, and 7 in this greatest sermon ever preached, the Sermon on the Mount. And in that sermon, the single longest section of that message deals with worrying. So Jesus said in verse 25 of Matthew 6, he says, therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life. And you know what I find amazing? I find it amazing that Jesus pointed out that those people back then worried about things 2,000 years ago, just like we worry today. And in fact, they worried about somewhat of the similar things that we worry about today. And I know it's not exactly the same thing, but he says in verse 25, look at it again. Therefore, I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you will eat, or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Now, if we just think about America, particularly in America, we don't normally worry about having something to eat or drink or wear. Even though I know that there are some people who are struggling, and I know that I'm not denying that there are some hungry children and perhaps even hungry adults in our country. But when you really think about it, in America, when was the last time you literally heard of someone starving to death in America? So they just kind of change the terminology. We still worry about life, though. We worry about life. We worry about mortgage payments. We worry about having a job, or we worry about health insurance, or paying bills, or paying for college, or whatever it is. In other words, we worry about finances. Poor people worry that they don't have any money. Rich people worry that they don't have enough. Poor people spend their life looking for money. And rich people spend their life storing it up. Jesus, he does mention something in verse 25 that people worried about 2,000 years ago and still worry about today, and that is our bodies. Our bodies. Everybody is born with this self-consciousness of how they look and how they appear to others. We all have that. Amen? All right. Amen. I read where Paul, we all try to look younger and all that stuff. I read where Paul Harvey once told of an old man he knew who purchased braces on his false teeth so he could look younger. Okay. There's one thing in particular that all of us in this room worry about and think about, and maybe it stays on our mind and it plays on our mind, and we worry about the future, which is why Jesus concludes this message with this lesson in verse 34, if you jump down to verse 34, he says, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." See, we allow the clouds of tomorrow to cover up the sunshine of today. Now, I'm going to tell you something that I know you already know, and it's this. If you want to live a life that is unproductive and unhappy, you just spend it doing the one thing that is totally unnecessary, and that is worrying. And Jesus, he does us all a huge favor. This is what Jesus is doing to us today. He evaluates the reason that we worry, then he eliminates the cause of worry, then he elevates us above our worries. He's going to look at the problem from a negative perspective, and then he's going to give us the positive side of the solution. See, Jesus is determined to stop worrying. He's determined to put a stop to worry. Three times in this passage, verse 25, verse 31, verse 34, he repeats the phrase, "Therefore, do not be anxious." The Greek word for anxious, or what we call worry, is a combination of two smaller words. One of the words means to divide. The other word means the mind. So, in other words, to worry is to have a divided mind. To have a divided mind, a double-mindedness kind of thing. You know, trying to do too many things at one time. You know, there's a phenomenon known today. It's called multitasking. Anybody know what I'm talking about? How many ever tried to multitask? All right. Now, if we are going to be honest here today, and I want us to be honest today, we know that when you multitask, you're not going to do anything very well. I don't care what you say, and I try to do it too. We do it all the time, don't we? We try to do things that we shouldn't be doing. We're eating at the dinner table with our family, and everybody doing this with their phones, and we're supposed to be eating dinner. Put the phones down. Have your dinner time. Don't try to, you know, or like the guy who calls his mother, you know, 100 times a day, whatever. But his mother knows something, because while you're talking to mom on the phone, you're reading your emails on your computer. But your mother knows it. And she says, "Get off your computer for a minute and talk to me." And see, it's a divided mind. A divided mind always leads to a diminished performance. So how do you stop worrying? Well, one thing we know that doesn't work. Have you ever been worried about something and somebody says to you, "Well, just quit worrying about it"? Anybody ever say that to you? Has that ever helped you? Oh, okay. So, you know, let me be honest with you today, too. I'll be honest. When I'm worried about something and someone finds out and they tell me, "Quit worrying," it makes me worry about them. That's what it does. But Jesus does something that is unbelievable. It's unbelievable. He does something that is so unbelievable that no other psychologist or psychiatrist would ever have ever thought to do. He said one of the ways to quit worrying is this: become a bird watcher. Yeah. Look at verse 26. He said, "Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow, nor reap, nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they?" Let me ask you a question. Have you ever seen a stressed out bird? Have you ever seen a bird pacing back and forth on a branch, back and forth, back and forth? Have you ever seen that? I've studied this intensely, and in my intense study I've never seen a bird in medical history that has ever been treated for hypertension or for high blood pressure. I've never had anything recorded. I haven't found it. Jesus said, to learn a lesson from the birds. What do? They sing. They chirp. They fly. They build nests. But they don't worry. And they don't know that they have a God in heaven who takes care of them. But we do. We know it. See, there's a lot you can learn from birds about what not to do. Ever hear the expression, he's like a bird? How many of you ever heard that? Yeah. Well, I don't know if you knew it or not, but let me remind you that a bird can eat 2 to 3 times their weight in food every day. Oh, yeah. See, that means if the average human being ate like a bird, he would be consuming somewhere between 300 and 500 pounds of food a day. So don't tell people, you're eating like a bird. Well, some people must eat like a bird. You know, what are you going to do? You know? So Jesus said, I want you to look at the birds and learn something. And then Jesus takes us from watching birds to doing math. I don't like math, but Jesus is teaching me how to do math. Look at what he says in verse 27. And which of you, being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? You don't add one thing to your life when you worry. You wish you weren't so short. Worrying doesn't make you any taller. You wish you weren't overweight. Worrying won't lose a pound. You wish you had more time. Worrying won't give you another minute. Worrying will never solve a problem, never dry a tear, never lift a burden, never remove an obstacle. Worry has never made a bad thing good or a good thing better. Someone said that worrying is like shoveling smoke. You're not any better off when you are done than you were when you started. If you don't get anything else out of this message, I want you to write down 2 statements. I got them in your handout. There are 2 things you should never, ever, ever worry about. Number one, never worry about things you can change. That makes sense, doesn't it? If you worry about something you can change, instead of worrying about it, change it. Okay? That's number one. Never worry about things you can change. Number two, never worry about things you can't change. That makes sense also. Worrying is not going to change anything you can't change. So if you can't change it, then why worry about it? So except for the things you can change and the things you can't change, then I invite you to worry about anything else. Okay? Now, let's get down to the root of the problem of worry. So here's the problem. Look at it in verse 28 through 30. Listen to what Jesus said in Matthew 6. And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothed the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, oh, you of little faith? See, he's talked about birds of the air. He's talked about flowers of the field and boils our whole problem down to one thing. You know what that one thing is? Puny faith. It boils down to, oh, you of little faith. That's what it's boiling down to. Then Jesus kind of puts the knife in and twists it a little. He brings it home. He hits real hard. In verse 31, he says, therefore, do not be anxious, saying, what shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we wear? For the Gentiles, in some versions say the unbelievers, the Gentiles or unbelievers seek after all these things. And your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. And then you read that last part of that verse again. Your heavenly Father knows that you need them all. You want to know what worry is? We're going to categorize worry a different way today. Worry is, we're going to call it practical atheism. Let me give you the simple, the ABCs. You see on your paper, simple ABCs. Here it is. A, there is a God. Write it down. There is a God. B, that God is in control of my life. C, that God loves me and cares for me. And D, why worry? Okay? There is a God. That God is in control of my life. That God loves me and cares for me. And D, why worry? The only reason at the bottom of why we do worry is because either we don't believe that there is a God, or even if we do, we don't believe he is really in control of our lives, or even if we do, we don't believe that he cares. Otherwise, there's no need to worry. Okay? Now, Jesus spent all of this time and all of these verses talking about the problem from a negative standpoint. Now, what's the solution from a positive standpoint? Look at verse 33. The solution is proper focus. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. The operative word, the most important word in this entire passage is that word first. First. Are you ready for this? The solution to worry is simply putting first things first. Got it? It's that simple. Putting first things first. And that's why I say the key takeaway part, you know, this is what I want you to walk out of here with today. Look at that key that I wrote in there. Proper priorities promote peace. Can you say that with me? Proper priorities promote peace, okay? When you are focused on the right things, you won't worry about the wrong things. Jesus said there are two things that you ought to stay laser focused on in your life every day. Every day, two things: his kingdom and his righteousness. Every day. To put it another way, I am to focus on A, God's rule over my life, and B, God's righteousness in my life. That's what I need to focus on every day. God's rule over my life, and God's righteousness in my life. And let me tell you what I mean again by focus, like I said in the beginning. I'm not talking about focusing with your eyes. I'm talking about focusing with your heart, okay? Focusing with your eyes involves seeing. Focusing with your heart involves surrender, all right? It involves surrender. So now we're going to summarize Jesus' sermon and mine in one sentence. Surrender your worries and focusing on his will, okay? It's just that simple. It's just that simple. Surrender your worries and focusing on his will. Proper priorities promote peace. Misplaced priorities multiplies worry. Now, this is going to hit you, and it's okay. I know you can take it. No matter what you say your priorities are in your life, what you worry about is really your priority. You got it? No matter what you say your priorities are in your life, what you worry about is really your priorities. I'll give you an example. If you're worried more about making more money than you are spending time with your children, you may say your priorities are your family, but it's not. If you're more worried about buying that brand new 99-inch flat screen TV than you are about giving God his tithe, you may say your priority is God's work, but it's not. If you are worried more about how to cover up a sin than you are about admitting it and repenting of it, you may say you are concerned about getting right with God, but you're not. Okay? No matter what you say your priorities are in life, what you worry about is really your priority. Every day, your first priority should be His rule over your life and His righteousness in your life. And guess what happens when you do that? When you focus on His will, He takes care of your worries. Listen to verse 33 again. Look at verse 33 again. It says, "But seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness." In the New Living Translation, it says, "And live righteously, and all these things will be added unto you." You focus on what God wants to do in and through you on a daily basis, and He will take care of what needs to happen for you. That's a promise of God. That's His promise. So what's the conclusion? Here it is. Verse 34, "Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." In other words, look one way at a time. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then live one day at a time. Okay? Meet today's problems with today's strength. Don't start tackling tomorrow's problems until tomorrow. God doesn't give you any strength to face tomorrow. He gives you strength to face today. Okay? I read this story. It made so much sense to me that many years ago, a renowned Canadian doctor by the name of William Osler gave a speech to students at Yale University on how to make the most of life. He told a story about going aboard an ocean liner, and he was visiting with the ship's captain when a loud, piercing alarm sounded, followed by this strange grinding and crashing sound below deck. And the captain said, "Those are our watertight compartments closing. It is an important part of our safety drill. In case of real trouble, water leaking into one of the compartments won't affect the rest of the ship. Even if we were to collide," he says, "with an iceberg the way the Titanic did, water rushing in will fill only that particular ruptured compartment. It cannot get to the rest of the ship." So taking that as an illustration, this is what Dr. Osler said to those students at Yale University. And I quote, "Each one of you is certainly a much more marvelous organization than that great ocean liner and bound on a far longer journey. What I urge is that you learn to master your life by living each day in the day-tight compartment. And this will certainly ensure your safety throughout your entire journey of life. Touch the button and hear that very level of your life, that the iron door shutting out the past, the dead yesterdays. Touch another button, shut off with a metal curtain the future, the unborn tomorrows. Then you will be safe for today. Do not think of the amount you have to accomplish and the difficulties you have to overcome, but set earnestly at the little task near your elbow, letting that be sufficient for the day. For surely our plain duty is not to see what lies dimly at a distance, but to do what lies clearly at hand." In other words, just what Jesus said. Look one way at a time and live one day at a time. Amen? I want to close. I want to just say something in closing. Maybe the worship team can close. You can close your Bibles. The worship team can come back. But I want to ask you to do something today. Again, I want to ask you to do something like I did last week. I want you to go home today and sit at your kitchen table or a desk, whatever. I want you to take out a sheet of paper, and I want you to write down the top 3 to 5 things that you are worried about. And then surrender every one of those things to Jesus Christ. What I want you to do is I want you to shift your focus today. I want you to change your priorities and be obsessed with the kingdom of God and His righteousness and let Him worry about everything else. Can you do that? Can you just write down what you're worried about and then give them to Jesus? Surrender them to Jesus. And then be obsessed with that promise of God. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. But here's the ultimate question. Here it is. I wrote it on the last thing on your sheet. I don't know who wrote this, but I thought it was well worth hearing. What does your life revolve around? What does your life revolve around? But remember this when you consider your answer. We have all made ourselves the center of everything in this world. We have. But God will be at the center of everything in heaven. Okay? The decision, this is important. The decision you made or will make, either for or against Jesus Christ, should be measurable by what your life revolves around. That's a powerful statement. The decision you made or will make, for or against Christ, should be measurable by what your life revolves around. What does your life revolve around? Are you just a Sunday Christian? And then tomorrow when you go to your job, you're just going to be one of the boys, one of the girls, just hanging out, doing whatever they do, talking like they talk, but you're going to talk in King James language on Sunday. And are they going to see, how are they going to measure what your life is all about? Are they going to see any difference in your life? Or are they going to just see, well, the only difference is you go to church on Sunday. I don't. So what? You're doing the same thing I do. How it should be measurable. Your life should be measurable if you call yourself a believer by what your life revolves around. What does your life revolve around? Listen, if it's not God, if your life does not revolve around God, you won't like heaven. And you probably won't get to go there either. I'm just telling you like it is. Because I know what the Bible says. But God, we prophesied in your name. We cast out demons in your name. God, we laid hands on the sick. And what are you talking about? Jesus said, I never knew you. Depart from me, you worker of iniquity. Why? Because what was your life? What is your life revolved around? If it's not God, you're not going to like heaven, okay? Because he's at the center. Mm-hmm. And you probably won't go there. So, you make sure the one or two or three things you do this year, the first thing you ought to be doing, make sure that they are the first thing you ought to be doing. And then God will take care of everything else in your life. You know what? Good time to try it, isn't it? It's a good time to test God and see. I was so thankful that that word came out today, because that was in my heart, the promises of God. And you know what? That's what God spoke to me too. You know, you only want to believe the promises you want to believe. I wrote a lot of them. You have enough faith to believe them all? I want to say, yes, Lord. I want that, my faith to believe all your promises. That's what I want. That's why I want to change my focus this year. I want you to change your focus this year. I want you to put first things first, because I know what the result is going to be. I'll add all these things that you need. I'll bring everything you need into your life. What a deal. Amen? Yes. Come on, let's all stand together.